Jiffy Lube.
Talk sports, Fox Sports, you should check the box score. Bought a house in Concord adjacent to the golf course. Bentley, cut the mic off. Hey. You ain't sick, you just want to take some time off. Hey, we talking Tennessee, we bleeding orange hair. We talking sports right up underneath the sun's flare. He got hot takes, Cody McClure. John Reed on the farm, walk around in manure. Hey, Fox Sports, Knoxville, 865. This is Talk Sports and we about to go live. Fox Sports, Knoxville, 865. This is Talk Sports and we about to go live. Bentley, cut the mic off. You wasn't sick, you just want to take some time off.
Hour two, kicking off in the Fan Run Studios. Hour two headlines, Cody McClure, Collision Course.
Hey now!
Thanks, Sean. Former, former Raiders and Steelers wide receiver Martavis Bryant has reportedly applied for reinstatement after his latest suspension. The talented but often suspended receiver is trying to make his way back into the league. According to ESPN, the receiver has filed for reinstatement. He delayed filing for reinstatement by a couple of months in order to work on improving the issues that led to his most recent indefinite suspension. So, Martavis Bryant trying to get back into the league. He's been working with the NFL and NFLPA on steps he needs to take to address his mental health with therapists and going through ADHD treatments.
Is he still with the Raiders or is he currently like without a...
It says former Raiders and former Steelers.
I think he's free agent, I guess.
Yeah, he's just trying to get back somewhere, I think. Hmm. Big 12 media days also going on this week. Anything
interesting from out of there?
Yeah, there's a couple things. Gary Patterson had an interesting quote earlier. I found this interesting. There's one major difference between playing Texas Tech in Lubbock in the daytime and at nighttime. They throw tortillas at us in the daytime. At night, they throw frozen bottled water at us.
Okay.
So I thought that was a cool quote there from Gary Patterson. You know, it's not just playing in the swamp. You got to worry about things. Apparently in Lubbock, they get pretty aggressive. TCU prefers to play there in the daytime. I guess that's a thing they do, throwing tortillas.
I've never heard of it.
Have you heard that?
Nope. Never heard of it.
You haven't heard that?
Not that I remember hearing about. I don't think I've heard about it.
Well, I guess they do. But at night, it says they throw frozen bottled water, which seems like it would hurt. It's basically like getting hit with a rock.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems dangerous.
So another story out of Big 12 media days. The Big 12 says that the horns down is okay depending on usage. The Big 12 has a message for those thinking of making the horns down sign this season. Do it quickly and don't direct it toward opposing players.
So basically you can flash it, do a little trash talk, but don't do it right in front of somebody's face. Is that what they're getting at? That seems like, yeah, that definitely seems like something that's concrete that won't lead to the officials being confused and throwing a flag on it.
Well, he did it for 4 seconds this time. Usually we only let him do it for 2.5 seconds.
Oh, okay.
Greg Burks, he's the Big 12 coordinator of football officials, said if a player quickly flashes the horns down after scoring a touchdown, he likely would not be called for a penalty. However, prolonged displays of the signal will be penalized, especially if directed toward an opposing player at the bench.
We need the SEC to address it when it comes to the Gator Chomp as well.
I mean, can we not just let the guys... I mean, the horns down is... That's basically just like, hey, go to hell, Texas. What's the problem? Why is this even... I remember when this first happened last year. And Bowlesby was coming out talking about, why is it even a story? Are they trying to preserve some sportsmanship or something?
I guess so.
I mean, the best thing about sports is the trash talk and, you know, being able to get one up on the other guy. I mean, if a defensive end comes through, breaks through the line, and works his way to the quarterback and just blasts him in the backfield, he should be able to step over him. He worked to get there. He did it. He should be able to taunt him and throw the horns down in his face, I think.
I'm okay with it. More trash talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's part of the game. Makes it fun. If you don't want horns down, why'd you ever start doing horns up? You should have known better.
You should have known what was going to happen to you.
So anyway.
Do you draw the line at middle fingers? Can they throw middle fingers up? Are we okay with that?
Well, I mean, you know I'm going to be okay with it.
Yeah, so, that's true, I guess.
I mean, I don't know what the right answer should be there.
Are we surprised that Jeremy Pruitt is going with a brown suit for media days?
Just a hand gesture. No, we're not surprised.
Brown suit with a orange tie.
Not surprised at that at all.
I mean, he looks sharp, but...
He looks like a 60s insurance salesman.
Yeah. Yeah. Or a preacher. I can picture a preacher
back
in the day rocking the brown suit.
I kind of like it.
Okay. I just saw the picture of it.
Brown is one of the... Brown and orange mixed is maybe the ugliest color combination you can have.
Unless it's Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it in, like, November.
Right. Yeah, but in the summer, that's a weird look. What did you say? He had an orange tie?
Yeah.
With a brown suit?
Yeah.
That's got to look pretty bad.
Nah, I mean, he looks okay. He doesn't look bad. Right? I mean, it's okay together, right, or no? I mean, I don't know why we're acting like me and you are fashion icons or anything, but I think it looks okay.
I mean, he looks okay in it because it's him.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, brown and orange, I guess. Maybe the only other color combo is brown and yellow that would be worse. Like Wyoming. You remember some of those uniforms they've had over the years?
Yeah. Although that's what I was wearing whenever I met my lady. I was wearing brown pants with a yellow shirt. Worked for her. Worked for her.
You were wearing brown pants with a yellow shirt?
Yeah. Worked for her.
What do you mean brown pants?
I mean brown pants. Same color as that suit.
What kind of yellow shirt?
Like just a Banana Republic.
What do you think I was
polo?
Say?
Polo? Just like just a polo. Not a Ralph Lauren polo. Are all of them called polos? Oh, when I think of polo, I think of Ralph Lauren. So he did a good job of cornering that market, I guess.
I mean, it's okay, I guess, if it's just shirt and pants.
I mean, if you don't think it was okay, just let me know. Worked for her. I'll let Kendall know that you think that she has bad taste.
Do you still have the ensemble?
Nah, that was probably too many pounds ago. This was 2011.
I was gonna say, like, just come in tomorrow with it. We'll
I wish I still had the pants actually, but I don't. I lost those. I don't have those anymore.
I'm kind of talking more about the colors being mixed in a pattern, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking. Like if you were wearing a striped brown and yellow shirt.
Okay.
I'm sure it matched.
Quick little backpedal there from you. You should hang out with Lante Taylor and Bryce Thompson. You get it?
Because they are cornerbacks?
Who backpedal a lot.
Oh. I'm not skilled in the art of backpedaling.
No, you just did a pretty good job from your yellow and brown take.
I'm not backpedaling. I think they're ugly colors together. But if you separate them, maybe not as bad. Yeah, I mean... I don't know.
You got any other headlines?
Yeah. Game of Thrones slashed its way to a record-breaking 32 Emmy nominations.
Are you gotta be kidding me?
A record-setting 32 Emmy nominations Tuesday for its eighth and final season. The bloodthirsty saga's total eclipsed the all-time series record of 27 nods earned by NYPD Blue in 94.
You gotta be kidding me. What are some of them?
That just shows you how much better it is than every other show.
Outstanding. Okay, I got some of the big ones here. Outstanding lead actor in a limited series. I mean, the only show here I've only watched two of these, so Chernobyl, I don't think that guy's getting anything. He might, though, I don't know. Mahershala Ali in True Detective. He was good in that. He played three different time zones, so surely he'll win for that. Hugh Grant, A Very English Scandal. What is that? When They See Us. That one's probably for people to talk good about that show. Lead actress.
Kit Harington and Emilia Clarke were both nominated for lead actor and actress. I mean, the acting was good.
Oh, that was a limited series. Okay. These are limited. Okay. Okay.
The acting was good still in Game of Thrones.
Not really. Jon Snow didn't.
It was the writing that was
good. Jon Snow didn't really show any depth in season.
Lena Headey and Peter Dinklage should be winning all these awards, to me. They were what made the show great.
I mean, maybe in other seasons. Lena Headey had like...
Well, yeah, she didn't have to do anything because
of the writers.
15 minutes
of screen time this year, yeah.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Can't give her an award
for
that.
Don't even get me started about...
Too late. My queen. You already started.
My queen. Anyway.
All right, so Kit is nominated for Best Actor. We got Jason Bateman from Ozark. We got Sterling Brown from This Is Us. We got Kit from Game of Thrones. We got Bob Odenkirk from Better Call Saul. That would be my vote. I think he is really good. That's all.
I mean, when you look at who they're up against, though, most of these shows, it's not crazy to see why Game of Thrones is up for 32 nominations.
Unbelievable that Survivor snubbed again for Outstanding Reality Competition Series. What the hell is going on? Amazing Race? American Ninja Warrior? Are we serious here? Nailed It. What's Nailed It? Is that a hammer show? Is it about hitting things with hammers and nailing it? Have you ever heard of Nailed It? What is it? RuPaul's Drag Race? Not even going to discuss that one. Top Chef? Whatever. The Voice? Give me Survivor over The Voice any day. Another snub.
Has Survivor really been all that relevant?
What?
Has it been all that relevant?
What do you mean relevant? It's more relevant than Nailed It.
I mean, I know it was relevant in like 2004.
What is Nailed It, Cody? Is it relevant?
I don't know what Nailed It is. It sounds like some kind of home improvement show or something. I don't know. Is it the new version
home
of Home
Bakers with a terrible track record take a crack at recreating edible masterpieces for $10,000 prize. It is part reality contest, part hot mess.
I bet it is pretty awful. Funny then. So they take losers in the kitchen and see if they can bake some of the best creations ever?
Yeah. It's on Netflix, apparently.
Okay.
It looks like it might be a Netflix original, actually.
That seems like it's probably funny, then. You get people in who can't cook. Make them try to cook. I get the appeal there.
Nate said they even have that there's a game show on Netflix now that's kind of like our quarters debate the other day.
Oh, yeah.
They
that
have to,
is,
like, count them out.
Awake?
Yeah.
I watched that show.
Is it good?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, the worst part about game shows are the commercials. In between, like, the big moments, no commercials on Netflix. 40 minutes straight through. So what they do is they put these people in a room. They took 7 people. They put them all in a room for 24 hours. You can sleep, but you're not supposed to. I mean, you can sleep if you want, but the original challenge is they have to count out as many quarters as they can. They get a big tub of like a million quarters basically in this thing, and all 7 of them get to go and, you know, get a scoop out, carry them back to their desk, count them, and they have to keep the exact count of them, and they can't use pen or paper or anything, they just have to remember it. So after 24 hours, then they go into the big room, and they eliminate 2 people right off the bat. The person who counted the least amount of quarters, he gets eliminated, and the person who was the furthest off from his count. Like, say he says he had 28,000 quarters, and he really had 34,000, 6,000, that's a big number, boom, you're out. So then they go through challenges. It's a really good show. I like it. Then they send them through a variety of challenges that are usually just pretty simple, but stuff that you wouldn't be able to do if you didn't sleep. Like,
yeah.
Your motor skills get kind of messed up and things like that. So
he was kind of explaining it to me, and like the very end, like how they like determine like if you win or not.
Yeah, please,
I guess.
Don't spoil it. I'm trying to explain it to the people.
No,
I don't need
like,
you
I don't
to cut
spoil
off.
It. I'm just saying. Like,
I'm
was
I'm getting
at
to
the
that
guy.
Point. I'm getting to that point. So then they, you compete by yourself. You're going for a certain number of things to see how many times you can do a certain task, right? Like, or how much water you can pour in a cup if you can't bend your arm. Stuff like that. How many quarters can you shake out if you're dancing, if it's attached to your hip? Just dumb stuff like that. And then they'll tell you who won the challenge, and everyone else gets what they can call a cash out or a bail out or something like that. You get to lock in money. You get 10 seconds to lock in money if you think you got last, because whoever gets last gets eliminated. If you don't lock in the $1,000 or $5,000 or $10,000, you get nothing. So then it's a little bit of a mind game. Or do you get nervous? Do you clock out? Should you have stayed in? Should you take the money? Should you not? And then it keeps going to the end when there's two people. And then it's like, hey, now we're seeing who got the closest amount of quarters counted properly. So then either you can take the last bell out or you can go for it. And if you win, you get your money, which is usually around $30,000, which is kind of crazy. These people count out $30,000 worth of quarters. That seems like a lot. I don't know if it is in 24 hours. If you don't have anything else to do, you're just counting quarters. Seems like a lot. But if you win, then you can lock in $30,000. Usually no one locks in the $30,000. You get a chance to go and get, you know, basically the whole bank, all the quarters counted, which is usually around $200,000, if you're willing to risk that your account was within $500 of your actual count, of your actual total.
Yeah.
Usually people can do that one. And then they're like, hey, we'll let you have $1 million if you can get within $25 of your count.
That's what I was saying.
People, you know, fail at that one, or they're like, no, just give me the $200,000.
That's what I was saying. Like, if I, like, was like, you know what, I'll risk it, and it's like $26, I'm probably swinging at the host.
Yeah. Well, there was one guy who risked it and was wrong, and then there was, like, two other guys who didn't risk it that were right, and they were, like, sick. But on one hand, they're like, hey, I just won almost $200,000.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, it could have been $1 million. So, like, you win money, but you're still sad. So that's almost even worse.
Yeah.
What are you guys talking about?
Awake.
Awake. What were you doing on your phone that was so much more important?
Anything.
It's a good show, though. That, I don't think it's an outstanding drama, but you know what? I might go, or an outstanding reality show, I might go watch this baking show. Because I Googled it, and the first clip looks pretty funny. It's called Princess Cake Gone Wrong, and the picture of the cake she's supposed to make versus what she made. I'm sure she got roasted pretty good. I'm like, what are you doing? Are you stupid? I'm going to watch the clip during the break, and I'll give you our breakdown of it. Stick with us. This is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, I pulled up the clip from Nailed It, the baking show, and I'm going to have to pass on it because it seemed like the people were in on the joke that they weren't good bakers, right?
Were they burning things? Or
no, I mean, they're just laughing like, oh, yeah, we're really terrible. Like, the princess was really ugly, and then she was laughing, saying what kind of voice the princess had, basically acting as if she was a goblin. Not as funny. I wanted them to actually be proud of their work and get trashed, so I'm going to have to pass on Nailed It. And there's your review of Nailed It. I saved you some time.
Well, how would you feel about watching celebrities who have gone viral fight each other?
Celebrities who have gone viral fighting each other.
As in not celebrities, but people who have gone viral to become viral celebrities. You know the term, viral celebrities.
Yeah.
Essentially Mason Ramsey, that bad baby girl.
Okay, so
I mean, if it weren't for going viral, they never would have been anything.
Yeah, but Mason's actually talented. When I think of viral celebrities, I think about this like bagel guy who doesn't really have any skills who went virally famous.
Funny you should mention him.
Oh.
Bagel guy Chris Morgan has signed a deal to fight other viral celebrities.
Yeah.
He signed a deal. According to TMZ, with a celebrity, he has signed up for a celebrity boxing match. The 5-foot star of Bagel Boss Meltdown fame spoke to the site after signing contracts with fighting promoter Damon Feldman to step in the ring on September 7th in Atlantic City.
Who's he fighting?
Let's see. Antoine Dodson. Another viral video star after his reaction to a home intruder in Alabama in 2010.
See, that's the guy I'm thinking of. He's the one that was like, oh, they better hide your kids. They're raping everybody. That's that guy, right? Antoine Dodson?
Apparently. I'm just naturally
tough. The guy with the big hair. But that's him. I'm 90% sure. Well, so like he's who I think of when I think of viral star. Someone who doesn't have any other skills.
Well, Chris says, I don't need no training. I'm prepared.
I feel bad that we made this guy famous. Like, it turns out he's been trying to get famous, and we just played right into his...
Maybe he'll finally get laid, and he'll calm down a bit. I'm just naturally tough, he says. I'll whoop his ass. If he thinks he's going to win, forget about it.
I mean, I would like to see him get beat up, but I don't like that he is self-aware. I liked it better when we thought we were laughing at the bagel guy and that he was mad at us laughing at him rather than him trying to capitalize by selling shirts that says, "You're not my boss."
Well, for a guy who's been laughed at his whole life, I mean, can he not get a little something? You know, I mean, I know he's a jerk, but the poor guy's been probably downtrodden his whole life.
Yeah, I mean, good for him, I guess. I just want to know if that was Stays or if he just always went in. Do you think it was Stays or do you think he went into the bagel shop just trying to be a jerk that way people would record him and make him famous? Like, which one do you think it was? Was it performance art or was it staged?
I don't think it was staged.
You don't think it was staged?
No, I think that's just everyday America.
No. He was.
I think it is.
He was showing out for the cameras. I mean, you've seen his YouTube videos. This guy tries to record himself doing things like this to try to get famous. So I wonder if he just was always out acting like a jerk, waiting for someone to slam him and then post it so he could get famous, or if that was his friend that slammed him.
I don't know. We wonder why other countries laugh at us. This is what we are. This is America. In China, you know what they're doing in China? Science, math. They're reading. They're developing their brains, becoming intelligent and leading the world and things like engineering. Here, just looking for some bagels, some gizmos to keep us occupied.
He's going to fight a star from 2010.
Yeah. He says his talent is getting possessed. He then showed off a 1-2 combination for TMZ's camera. "Sit back and wait," he said, and then he went into a rant. "Everywhere I go, I get the same effing smirk with the biting lip." Talking about the women again. He told the Post his outrage was sparked by belittlement.
Yeah.
He probably would have been good. You know, if Peter Dinklage didn't play that guy in Elf, I think this guy would have been pretty good at it.
Okay. Any other viral stars you want to see him fight?
Mason Ramsey?
See, I don't...
Bad Baby?
I don't consider him a viral star.
That's what
he is. He's just a star now.
He's just capitalized on it. I mean, he's done a good job of capitalizing.
Maybe you're right.
I mean, is Mason Ramsey really that talented? I don't know.
I mean, you bob your head to the song every time Ben Lee plays it.
It is kind of catchy. I don't know. I don't know if that means he's got musical talent or he's just with the right people that can help him make a catchy song.
But. Like, I think of Charlie. He's a viral star.
Charlie?
Yeah.
The guy who bit the finger,
yeah.
Charlie.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll fight him. I guess he's grown up by now, right?
I mean, he's probably still not 18, but I don't know. The Chocolate Rain guy, maybe? Like, he was one of the first viral stars, right? Chocolate Rain.
Maybe they could get some of those nerds from, like, Vine. Come out of the woodworks.
Yeah. I mean, Vine shut down. They don't really have anything going on for them now.
What are those people doing now? Just sitting in a dark room, just kind of...
Trying to re-get the fame on YouTube, I guess. All right. Weird conversation, but an important one. I hope we see him get beat up.
I'm sure we will.
We all get our 15 minutes of fame, you know? This is his, I guess.
I'd say whoever he gets in there with is probably gonna beat him up.
Hopefully someone just records it and then posts it to the internet so that we don't have to pay for it on pay-per-view. Hopefully we get to see the footage.
I doubt they're going to try to sell it on pay-per-view.
Okay, maybe not.
I wouldn't pay 99.
If they do it, they better do it like this week.
And it better be like 99 cents.
They better do it this week while we still care about this guy. I got a feeling his shelf life isn't much longer. We'll talk some more SEC football next. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
90%.
Maybe they could fight the I Like Turtles kid.
Who was that?
The kid who liked turtles.
I don't remember him.
He had his face painted that didn't look like a turtle, I don't think, and he said he likes turtles. He's dressed like a zombie, right?
Yeah, it looks like a skeleton or something.
And like, who are you dressed up as, or what are you doing here? He's like, I like turtles.
I like turtles.
It's amazing what goes viral.
Yeah, yeah.
Things that you just normally wouldn't even care about.
Little buddy points out that all the Vine people now are on TikTok.
What is that?
It's like Vine, but you get 15 seconds instead of six.
Yeah, basically. Is that pretty much the...
Yes, that is it.
Music, right? There's music. I always see music Vine. Involved in TikToks, but...
Vine had music, too.
Okay.
I don't think you have to have music.
So here we are. Tuesday, SEC Media Days.
So Jeremy's coming up here in, what, about an hour?
Jeremy should be coming up here soon. I put the question out on Twitter if there's anything you want to hear Jeremy Pruitt address.
Oh, they're talking about us on the SEC Network.
What are they saying?
Yeah, six returning starters on defense.
Tennessee does?
Six returning starters.
Yeah. Okay. Six returning starters on defense. A lot of returning starters on offense.
Pretty much everyone, right? 11?
I mean, outside of Drew Richmond.
Nah. We'll call it 11.
And then I guess your left tackle is going to move to guard. So, I mean, yeah, you know, Austin Price yesterday pretty much said, hey, I'm doubling down. Trey Smith's going to be your starter on the offensive line. Doubled down on it and said, that's what I've been saying, and it's what's going to happen. So Tennessee is going to have some returning talent, returning players, guys with experience, although it's going to get back to that same question we always kind of have philosophically, right, when it comes to would you rather have experienced players who you know aren't very good and hope they develop, or would you rather have young, exciting freshmen? Tennessee might have a mix of both, right, because Tennessee is going to have two five-star offensive linemen in Wanya Morris and Darnell Wright. And then on the outside, you know, on the defensive line, you hope that Quarvarius Crouch is going to be a beast this year, right? You hope Henry Tuoto makes it to campus and can contribute day one.
I think you always want to have returning talent.
Or stays on campus is what I should have said.
Yeah, I think you always want guys coming back because Pruitt's got two recruiting classes under his belt now, so these guys coming through – a lot of them are unproven and young, but some of them had to play early. You know, like Thompson and Alante Taylor.
I put the question out on Twitter, what do you want to hear from Jeremy Pruitt, if anything? One tweeter writes in saying that he thinks he will be a hell of a lot more authentic than the buffoon. Because we're still talking about him. I think the Vols are highly underestimating their coach right now. Ask him how his team differs from last and the work they put in over the summer. Let's try to get him pumped. I mean, I don't think we'll have any issue with him trying to put the team over, right? If I had to guess what Jeremy Pruitt's script's going to be today, it's going to be a lot about the team improving, right? About what they're doing to try to get better. Hey, we worked out really hard this offseason. I didn't go on the Big Orange Caravan. That way I could spend more time with my team. We're trying to bond. Like, I would say that that's going to be a talking point, right? Him saying, big thing for us was keeping Craig Fitzgerald and getting another year in the weight room with who we think is the best in the world. I'd imagine that's going to be a talking point, right?
Yeah, I mean, he'll hit the points, you know.
He'll talk about how they improved. I don't think you'll have to worry about that. It's not like he's going to come out and say, yeah, I don't know if it got any better this offseason. Every coach is going to tell you that they have been working out harder and that they've lost X amount of weight pounds in the weight room and gained X percentage of body fat and muscle and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Is there anything you can say about Jarrett Garantano that you care about?
I don't think there's really anything he can say that'll be – I mean, I'll watch just to see what he says, just to see it.
Yeah.
Know, but I'm not expecting anything at all.
I mean, I'm sure he's going to hit the notes about Garantano as a leader, right? I mean, I would say that's going to be on his script as the strides Jarrett Garantano's made as a leader. That's going to be a theme coming out of this because really there's no other option of him being a leader. Like, he has to kind of be your leader. And there's no real competition at the quarterback position. So, you know, if Jarrett Garantano hasn't felt more like a leader this offseason, then something's drastically gone wrong. So I would bet a lot of money that that's going to be something Pruitt tries to push.
Maybe somebody should ask him how working with Jim Chaney has been able to how he's progressed with Jim Chaney.
Yeah. I would say that's going to be a talking point as well. You know, him talking about – I would feel pretty confident that he will say – that he trusts Jim Chaney to run an SEC offense, right? Like Tyson Helton, year one coordinator, you know, that he didn't have the the familiarity and the comfortableness, comfortability, what word am I looking for here?
Comfort.
Comfort. He didn't have the comfort with Tyson Helton running an offense that he does with Jim Chaney. I would say that will be something he points out to too. So if you put me like a bingo board up, I would say he's going to praise JG's maturity and leadership. He's going to talk about Chaney and how much Chaney knows about the SEC, and he's going to talk about them making strides in the weight room and as a team, you know, camaraderie. Team camaraderie is going to be higher.
Yeah, and maybe they'll ask him about the defense, too, and how that's going to look with Ansley. Is he going to be doing, you know, how are those responsibilities dispersed throughout the defense? How much does Pruitt have a hand in? I mean, because he has a good defensive coordinator. Does he, you know, he's the head coach, but he's really the guy that's always coordinated the good defenses. So how much is he involved in it?
Yeah. I mean, Pruitt is on record saying if he didn't get to call the plays on defense, he wouldn't want to coach anymore.
It's kind of his thing.
Right. And, I mean, that's something that you want to do if you're a defensive mind. And, you know, Pruitt's shown, hey, he's one of the better defensive minds in the country. Is he going to be able to collaborate with Ansley? I'm sure Ansley didn't come back from the NFL to not really get a chance to do his own thing either. So, he says that they're pretty similar in their approach. Says he sees a lot of himself, you know, in Ansley. So, like, you would think that that will be a good relationship. Do we get an update on Trey Smith? Got a couple of people writing in that they hope they get an update on Trey Smith today. Do you think Pruitt addresses that? He's pretty much going to – someone's going to ask, right, in some regard?
Someone should ask him. I mean, the thing about media days, whether it all happens – I mean, we'll watch him in the ballroom, obviously. But whether or not he gets asked there, the thing about media days is he's going to be talking to so many different people doing these radio shows and stuff.
Uh-huh.
At some point, someone will ask him about Trey Smith.
Maybe not in the big ballroom. Okay, you're right.
So just today in general, I mean, we should – yeah, we should get a quote coming out about Trey Smith. How are we going to watch this, by the way, if it's at 2:30?
I mean, we'll put it up.
We're going to turn the sound on?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Should we just stream the last 30 minutes and just let people listen to Jeremy Pruitt? Just take 30 minutes off early on the show?
I don't know. We could. Really kind of want to hear him. I mean... I don't know. We could we could just pause it, and then we could watch after. Well, no, the drive comes in. We could lock the doors.
I don't know. I don't know what I'm supposed to say here. What do you want to do?
I don't know. I just want to watch it.
Do you want to just stream it over the airwaves or what?
Can we do that legally? I don't think we can do that.
No, oh, I don't know.
I don't know if we can. We could do it anyway. See what happens.
Jeremy Pruitt just got to Hoover, got to the hotel. He's walking through the lobby now. Like I said, probably going to go and talk to Tennessee media right away. Usually that's what the breakdown is there. So maybe we'll start getting some answers soon on some of these things and what he's talking about. At the very least, one of these players is going to get asked about the Florida, right? After yesterday. Hey, did you hear Piron's comments? He said you guys are on a rivalry. What do you think?
Yeah, maybe, you know, if nothing else, one of the Florida guys will ask.
Yeah, someone's going to ask. We'll get some type of comment starting to come out soon as we keep an eye down at SEC Media Days. Trey Smith's a good answer. Sam says he wants to hear why he got ran out of the building by Florida, Mizzou, and Vandy.
I mean, I wouldn't mind hearing about, like, how he kind of lost his team at the end of the year. But at the same time, it's a new year, so I doubt they're going to rehash that a lot.
No, I think that'll be a part of what I was talking about with him saying the team's going to be closer bonded this year. Because, I mean, that was kind of the excuse he gave last year, was like, hey, you know, a lot of bad apples here, right? I mean, that was a common theme the last month of the season was, we really want people here that want to be here,
and
type
of
thing.
He even came out and said it after one of those losses, you remember?
And pretty
and
much,
he's like, I'm going to clear my roster out and get my guys in here.
I mean, pretty much out of those two, out of everyone who said, you know, out of him saying that all the time, do we only have like two guys leave? I mean, was it pretty much Sapp and Drew Richmond? Is that pretty much it?
He's commanded respect, I think.
Right, but I mean, like, when talking about the bad apples, I mean, we didn't have as many transfers as people were thinking Tennessee was going to have after, you know, basically Pruitt begging for transfers at the end of last year. Like, hey, if you're a loser and you don't want to be here, then get out of here because we're going to be winners and we're going to try to do it this way.
That was one of my favorite quotes from last year, is him talking about getting his own guys in here. A lot of people had a problem with it. They're like, oh, you can't just sell out the guys on the team. I really like that. If he's a good coach. Now, it could obviously look bad if, you know, he gets his guys in here and then fails with his guys.
Yeah. I mean, you're allowed that in year one. Do we want to hear it in year two, though?
No.
Yeah, like year two, you can't say that anymore, right? Like,
no, I don't. No, absolutely not.
By year two, these are all your guys. They made it through another full year with you. They've seen what you're about. Like, these are your guys now. Whether you recruited them or not, like, can we all come to an agreement on that?
This is much more your team now than last year was.
Right, but can we just call it your team?
Yeah, and we know you're still not quite where you need to be, but you should have it good enough to make, you know, vast improvements.
I think everyone realizes you didn't recruit this team. I think everyone knows that. I mean, you do have some sophomores on the field now, but sure, the upperclassmen still aren't your guys. I think we all acknowledge that. But you didn't run off these other people. You didn't. It's not like you brought other people in here to replace them. They should know what you're about and know what you want to do, and you should be able to instill that and coach them. But like I said, we'll give you a little bit of a pass on it still. Year two's expectations aren't going to be as high as year three's or year four's. We all kind of understand that, right? But are we allowed to say we don't want to hear that anymore? That's not something we want to hear?
Yeah, like, I don't want him to get up there talking about how we still got a young team. And, you know, I don't want to hear that.
I mean, if Jerry Pruitt at halftime of, you know, the Florida game or the BYU game is talking about, yeah, still trying to teach some of these guys what it takes to play our type of football. Like, I don't want to hear that. Or, hey, you know, yeah, we're still working on getting our guys here. No.
Yeah, no, that's not something you want to hear. Maybe we would have had a better exercise if we had come up with the things we don't want to hear today. Because I could think of a lot of things we don't want to hear.
I mean, we have a whole another hour.
Well, Jarrett Garantano broke his ankles getting off the jet to come down here. Things we don't want to hear.
All right, we'll do that next. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Go ahead and mark the first one off, Cody. Coming across the board a minute ago, Tennessee coach Jeremy Pruitt on why he brought Jarrett Garantano to SEC Media Days. He's our quarterback. I believe in Jarrett. He's become a tremendous leader in the last 6 months. Nailed that one.
He's become a tremendous leader.
Nailed that one.
I'm glad that for the first time in a long time, at least we don't have a bunch of guys like, you know, some pretend quarterback competition. We knew it was going to be Garantano's team.
Is this the first time since, what, Dobbs? Dobbs 16?
Yes.
Dobbs 15? Dobbs 15 had the team under wraps too, right? I mean, he had that job to himself, right? So 15 yes. And 16. Since then, we have had a kind of a quasi-competition. 17, you didn't know if it was going to be Garantano or Dormady. And then last year, you didn't know whether or not it was going to be Garantano or Crist.
I'm so glad that's over with. Glad Keller Christ is gone.
I mean, I don't want to turn against, you know, anti-Keller Christ. I mean, he didn't do anything wrong to us.
No, I'm sure he's fine. It's just that, I don't know, people were very annoying.
Oh, yeah, sure. The conversation around him was nauseating, but...
You know that guy at A&M, Kellen Mond? He reminds me a lot of Josh Dobbs. I don't know if it's just because he wears the number 11.
Uh-huh.
Or if he's kind of the same kind of build.
Uh-huh.
He runs kind of the same. He's like a clone of Dobbs.
Or him being not white.
That doesn't really have anything to do with it.
Does he run the ball a lot?
Yeah. He dashes kind of like Dobbs does.
He runs like Dobbs?
Yeah. To me, he does. I don't know. To me, he reminds me a lot of Dobbs.
Okay. When I've watched him, I haven't seen him run too much.
Guy runs
Granted, I haven't watched a lot of A&M football.
Guy runs everywhere.
Okay.
He runs all over the place like a deer. Right.
My bad. I'm asking.
I remember Dobbs' running style was always cool. He's like a deer. You know?
Yeah, no,
he had
Dobbs,
like long strides.
Yeah, Dobbs was a glider for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess really if you look at their, you know, coming out of their sophomore seasons, Mon's sophomore season, 13 games, 474 rushing yards, 7 touchdowns. If you look at Dobbs' rushing yards after his sophomore season, 469 yards, 8 touchdowns, but that was only in 6 games. Man, those 6 games Dobbs came in his sophomore year, he ran all over the damn place, huh? 6 games had almost, 500 yards and 8 touchdowns?
Was that the end of 2014?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it started with that South Carolina game.
Yeah, like he could have, you know, obviously been on pace for over 1,000 yards if he would have played the entire season. 1,000 yards and 16 touchdowns.
Why wasn't he starting?
Seems pretty dumb.
I don't even
want to call it in hindsight because I think we all knew that he was the best fit for the offense like the entire time, right?
I remember when he came in against Bama and that game ended up being somewhat respectable. Like, not really, but for a Bama game, like 34.
Tennessee scored some points.
Yeah, 34-20 or something like that. And they got up on us early, like 28-0, I think. And then we made a run in the second half of that game. Started to come back a little bit. Gave us a real scare. But yeah, he was good. I remember the South Carolina game, going down to that one, 2014. He was great in that game.
Yeah.
And then Kentucky and Missouri.
Yeah, I mean, he was explosive offensively. So I guess Mond is close, kind of. I mean, 474 yards. I don't know. Dobbs was such an explosive runner, in my opinion. Although Mond did run it 150 times, so he tried. And granted, they take sacks in there to account, too, but... His average of 3.2 is a pretty good bit less than what Dobbs was doing.
I kind of wish Dobbs didn't hate all of us.
I don't think so.
I mean, he's blocked nearly everyone on Twitter.
I mean, he comes back to Knoxville, though.
I guess he does. Maybe he just doesn't like Twitter.
Yeah.
Another quote coming out from Pruitt. Apparently, Austin's Buffet and Steakhouse has decided to sponsor our offensive line, and they're now averaging 384 pounds apiece.
I'm going to go ahead and count that one as we're bigger and stronger now.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Going
to
go ahead and mark that one off the old checklist, too.
Have you ever been to that place?
No, is that a real place?
Yeah.
What is it called?
It's Austin's Buffet and Steakhouse.
Austin's Buffet and Steakhouse. Where is it at?
It's over like, it's almost like at the corner of, it's on Merchants, but it's like the corner of Clinton Highway almost. I discovered it the other day. Went in there and had lunch.
How are you both a buffet and a steakhouse?
Well, now that's what's interesting about it. They bring steak out on the buffet.
Oh, so they bring the steak to the buffet, or yeah. You order the steak separately and they'll bring you steak to the place?
They bring steak. It's kind of like a Sizzler.
Well, I mean, the Sizzler doesn't put steak on the buffet, though. The steak has a salad bar and a buffet, and you get one or the other, or you sit down and order a steak.
That's a good point.
At least that's the way the Sizzler does it in Athens.
I'm trying to think of like a buffet kind of place. No, they bring steak. I mean, the steak is there. You get it from the buffet.
Why have you not talked about this place before?
I don't know. I just discovered it the other day.
Oh, okay. So this isn't a place like you usually go. So you've turned in Shoney's and the Golden Corral for Austin's Steakhouse?
Yeah, I'm probably going to start going there more often.
Maybe you'll see the offensive lineman there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good place. They have all kinds of different things to eat. Huge buffet selection. You're not a buffet guy, are you?
I mean, I'll eat buffets. I'm not like anti-buffet. I just don't usually go there and eat.
I would think you would like buffets because you can pick many different things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't really like many different things, though.
Well, I know. That's what I'm saying, though. Because
I'd rather just go somewhere and order something I know. I mean, that's usually how I am. Now, don't
I mean,
get
like,
me wrong.
Cody's right. You're not hunting down a GoCo anytime soon.
No, I'm not. And the time he took me to his Chinese buffet, like, it was fine, but a little overwhelming. Too many different tastes. At a
overwhelming?
Point. Just too many different tastes.
That's a small buffet.
I mean, I know, but there's just too many different tastes. I like three or four things in my meal at most is what I'm getting at. I don't need to try to squeeze seven or eight things, different things on there. Too many tastes.
Never taking you back to my Asian restaurant.
Jim says Austin's is even more of a white trash Golden Corral, so that makes sense. Is that? I don't want to. You know, I'm not going to I'm not trying to bash Austin's. I've never been there, but we gave them pretty good publicity for free, so I got to present the other side. I got to present the other side. Jim says it is a more white trash version of the Golden Corral.
Who cares what Jim says? I'm telling you, it's good.
I know, but I don't necessarily trust your opinion. You haven't defended it. Is it more white trash?
What does he mean by white trash?
Does it feel sketchier when you go in there?
Sketchy?
Well, I mean, what?
It's a bunch of old people and a bunch of fat people, just like Golden Corral would be.
So it's the same? Like same quality-wise, I guess? Or
yeah.
What's the price? What's the price on the buffet?
It's not fine dining.
What's the price on the buffet compared to the GoCo?
It's very reasonable. It's cheaper, actually. If you get...
Cheaper is kind of trending towards Jim's point.
No, the food's better. The food's better than Golden Corral. If you go in, you're going to spend about $16 if you get a drink at Golden Corral and the buffet. It's going to run you about $16. This place you can get out of there for about $12.
Okay.
And you get steak. I mean, it's not Ruth's Chris, you know, but it's like $12. You can get all the steak you want. They got fried chicken. They got catfish. They got grilled fish. They got grilled chicken. Got some good bourbon, like barbecue grilled chicken. You have some chicken and rice. They got lots of vegetables, carrots, corn, green beans, mashed potatoes.
Jeremy Pruitt has no update on D'Angelo Gibbs, Aubrey Solomon, and Trey Smith's status for this fall. So no news there. Despite what was reported yesterday, the Aubrey Solomon stuff isn't settled, at least as far as Tennessee knows about it. Maybe somebody in the NCAA clearinghouse has already said it, but so far Tennessee hasn't gotten any news on that. Hour two in the books, hour three on deck. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.